I have three boys. She better get tough. Very nice, ladies and gentlemen that were here earlier. Well, good morning. And happy Mother's Day. It was just for you. And you, and you, and you, and you. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, are running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. We need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. We sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you more than you know. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience, and we're so, so sorry. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be, at least not yet. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the up-and-coming year, we grieve as well, and yet we rejoice. You people have problems. You need church. To those who may have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, and we have a few, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you this Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. And we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you, each and every one of you. So with that, today's theme is make her heart matter. Make her heart matter. And this is to every one of us in the room that are sons and daughters of a mom. Alive or not alive, make her heart matter to you. Hold it with care is going to be our message today. And you're going to get some how-tos. This is going to be a low-key message, at least I think. You need to care for your mom's heart. It's God's desire that you love your mommy. So hopefully today, not only will the moms be encouraged, but every one of us in this room will be encouraged to do the right thing, to live in a way that God wants us to live. The young preacher was shocked to hear the well-known speaker utter these words. "Yes, I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife." And after a long pause, the speaker added, "That woman was my mother." And everybody went, "Oh." A few weeks later, as the young pastor was speaking on Mother's Day, the phrase leaped into his mind that he had heard a few weeks before. And he said boldly to the people that he loved in his congregation, "I have spent some of the happiest days of my life in the arms of another man's wife." The young man went blank. And he couldn't remember the punchline. Then after a long pause, "But for the life of me, I can't remember who she was." Pray for that young pastor. Well, let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for each lady in this room. And we pray today you bless them in every way. Thank you for our moms, who they were or who they are today. Thank you for how they invested in our life. And may we just appreciate that today as we move through what the Bible says about moms in our life. And as we think about it, think about our own role. Think about the importance of our role in our mom's life. May you minister today. May you add to our lives. May you make them richer. Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We want you to be the leader of our life. We want to make you, we want to learn how to make you more and more the love of our life. Not just so we do the right thing, but so that we can worship the one who deserves it. May it be so in each of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, protecting your mom's heart is what we're going to kind of leap off into, and just three simple things that you'll get. You could probably come up with these if you had my job for a week. But number one, you need to watch out, first of all, for disrespect. Disrespect towards mom. Leviticus is a book in the Bible that is very, very boring if you've tried to read through the Bible. Most people die in about the sixth chapter. That's it. Not going to make it. Not going to make it this year. Or you kind of speed read, which means you're really good, you're really good. But it's a book with great definition about the rules of God, Old Testament-wise, the standards of God, just to be set out there so that people could understand beyond the Ten Commandments what God desires. And he says some things about moms, and we get the heart of God here in what he really desires in a perfect setting. If you want to know what God thinks. In Leviticus 19:3, it says, "Each of you," and "each of you" means every one of us. Nobody gets a pass here. Nobody gets a pass. "Each of you must," and you might want to underline the "must," and put this into your life. You must respect, he must respect, or she must respect his or her mother. To respect is to admire, to give preference to. Not to see as perfect, because every mom in this room, if I ask, could the mom or moms that are perfect stand up, please? Not a one of them would stand up. If I said those who are close to perfect, we might have a few, but that would be a problem for them. But to respect is to admire, to hold in high esteem because of the role and position that God has given that lady in your life. To never want to discredit or to never want to pull the rug out from under her, even though sometimes you may feel like it. Because you may feel at times that you're smarter. No, not you, people in other churches, than your mom. Or more aware or more whatever. Leviticus 19:32 says this about the elderly. It's one of the reasons why I'm never coloring my hair. I want this. But it says rise, and that's not true for you ladies. I think it's very wise for you to do that. But although gray is in, have you noticed? Am I in trouble? Am I already in trouble on Mother's Day? Here's what the Bible says, all right? Forget about Jim. In verse 32, it says, rise in the presence of the aged. Rise. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. So it connects this thought of if you want to revere and honor and respect God and who He is, there's to be respect given to those that are older than us. The idea is to respect those with gray hair. Your mother, this could be one of the wisest statements you hear from me today. Your mother is always ahead of you in age. Do the math. Even to the point here, he says, of rising in honor. And I think this is given emotionally. Every time a gray-haired person is, you're not all supposed to stand and go, oh, I'm not worthy. That's not what this is talking about. But it's talking about respect in your heart, that you choose this lifestyle, that you give this away. God assumes that younger people are going to give respect and show respect to older people. And we all know this isn't reality in today's world. I want to live in a real world, not a fake world. I want to understand what God wants for me and my heart, my life, and I want to tune myself to that as best I can. I want to live in harmony with that. I can't sing in harmony, but I can try to connect with that, and I fail often, just like you do. The Bible is clear, as we act improperly, inappropriately, we pay a price, and other people pay a price around us as well. Proverbs 20:20 says, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. And the idea is the blessing of God in your life can disappear. It can fade away. It can move away from you. It's serious, is what the Bible is trying to tell us. Watch out for disrespect towards your mom. It's a temptation for everybody alive. Number two in protecting your mom's heart today, move towards her with honor. Take your life and begin to move it towards her. If it's been disrespectful or it's tempted to be disrespectful, begin to move towards her with honor in your life. On the positive side, you need to do things that bring honor to your life. So if I asked you, I said, I want a list. I want you to give me a list of things that you've done in the last 3 months that honor your mom. Small things, not big things, small things. What's on the list? What is on the list? And if nothing's on the list, change your ways. Just shift gears. Make your life different. Recognize who your mom is. She's not perfect. I get it. But make a change. Recognize her position in your life as given to you by God. In Ephesians 6:2, which is the classic statement in the New Testament, it says you're to honor your father and your mother. And this comes from Deuteronomy 5:16, which is an old standard in God's truth and the book of the law, if you will. And it says this, honor your father and your mother as the Lord has commanded you to do. He didn't say, look, I got a good idea for you that you may want to consider. He says, you honor your mother and father with determination and strong words. He doesn't ask, he tells. And if he created you and me, he's got the right to tell. He commands us to. And he goes on to add a blessing to it if you listen to me. And talk about breakthrough in your life. If you ever get this, you go, oh, it isn't just about her. It's about me too. He says this. Why? So that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor and respect towards your mother is a huge part of a blessed life. If you think you're going to have a blessed life and you live disrespectfully, holding back honor towards your mom, you're just greasing the slides for you to have a messed up life. We potentially even prolong our life, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. We encourage things to go well in our life. It's just a good way to live. One man wrote this: to prepare our children for life, we must teach them choices have consequences everywhere. If we really care about them and want what is best, we will prepare them for life by controlling and disciplining them when they're young. Bill Gates, speaking at a graduation ceremony, gave some life rules, and one of them that caught my attention was, do what you're supposed to. If you think your mother was tough, wait until you get a boss. On the negative side, look at Deuteronomy 27:16 in your notes. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or mother. Again, that idea of cursed. Curse means to afflict with harm. Bad stuff is coming. It means to be negatively affected where you didn't have to be. To be targeted in for punishment from the one with all power. Well, serious business there. The rebellion of a teenage daughter was breaking her mother's heart, as it will do. Their struggle reached its zenith when the young girl was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. After posting bail for her daughter, the two did not speak until the next afternoon. When they came together, the woman handed her daughter a small wrapped gift. The girl flippantly opened it and was shocked by what she saw. The box contained a small rock. She rolled her eyes and asked, "What's this for?" Her mother simply replied, "Read the card." She did and was overcome by the words inside. Tears began streaming down her cheeks as she reached out to embrace her mom. The card said this: "This rock is more than 8,000 years old. That's how long it'll take before I give up on you." Oh, to have a mom that will love you no matter what is a gift from God. Doesn't mean it doesn't get rocky, if you know what I mean, along the way. But to have a mom that loves you no matter what with the best that she's got is a gift in life. Number three, how to protect your mom's heart. Invest in making her glad. In making her glad. In Proverbs 23:25, it says, "May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." A beautiful thing is we can participate in making our mom's heart glad. That's a power you have if you're a son or daughter. And I believe every one of us are a son or daughter. It's kind of the path of life. Another brilliant statement from Jim that you can text anyone. Glad you came today. You knew you were going to learn something. We can participate in bringing joy to our mom and making her rejoice. And what a beautiful thing to see that as true. And understand that that's within my possession to do to my mom. And for some, it's easier than others for a number of reasons we aren't getting into today. But the thought of that is just a beautiful thought. I possess that power. How good it would be if your mom, who brought you into this world where everyone that I've witnessed and been a part of is a pretty huge struggle. It is messy. Got to hose that baby down. It's just messy. Was that too much on Mother's Day? It's hard. Smart women order the epidural very early. How good it would be if your mother, who saw you through every day, through 20, 27 years old, and let you free at some point, as free as she could let you anyway, would see the blossoming of your life, would live to see you thank her and honor her for the job she did, which was the best job that she could have done with you. And every mom looks back and says, "Boy, I wish I would have done this, and I wish I would have done that." I have had so many people shift their life from no church to going to church And they looked me in the eye and they said, "Where were you 25 years ago?" And I said, "Dude, I was right here." in jest, of course. You see, we do that. We thank her and we honor her by whom we grow up to be. They watch like hawks until they're gone. They watch. That's what a mom does. You're still her little baby. They watch who we are. Hopefully leading productive, happy lives, not perfect lives, because theirs wasn't. Last year when I called my parents to wish them a happy new year, my dad answered the phone. "Well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution?" I asked him. "To make your mother as happy as I can all year," he answered proudly. Then Mom got on and I said, "What's your New Year's resolution, Mom?" She said, "To see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution." I like her. Proverbs 10:1 there in your notes says this: "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." The opposite of being glad would be having grief. We all kind of get that. And the truth is, we can produce grief in our mom. We can bring tremendous sadness by wrong actions, by inappropriate attitudes, and by bad behavior. Because they understand in their wisdom that that produces things that they don't want in their kids' lives. And it cuts deep. And we all get it. Proverbs 30:11 says, "There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers." And these "those's," I'm sorry if you're an English teacher, it's brutal in here, I know it. Those who hold back blessing, those who refuse to make mom's heart glad, those who hold back what they could do. And the message simply is, don't be a those. Be different. And every one of us can. This is not about guilt for past actions. This is about encouragement for present, for future realities for you. Just do your best. You don't have to be a hero. Don't go overboard. Don't get all syrupy this afternoon. It'll look silly. Just begin to shift gears and say, "I'm going to make my mom's heart glad in small, which ends up being in profound ways over the course of time." Don't buy into the lie that your mom doesn't matter. It's just not true. Not in God's eyes. Don't buy into the lie that mom isn't important and that you can disregard her or even dismiss your mom. You do it to your own peril. Be one who makes his or her mom glad to the best of your ability. See it as a responsibility. It's good for you, and you can be sure it's good for her. So how do I pull this off? Because I'm sensing, because I'm an intuitive guy, that you're with me. Yes. That you want a little bit of this. Well, can I tell you how? It's not really hard. You a little scared? Relax. Number one. Keep lines of communication open. Stay talking. It is so easy to just shut down, walk away. Stay talking. Stay talking. You know, depending on what age you are and where you're at in life, you're going to move out. Life moves on. And that empty nest is so hard when they leave. Don't ever go silent on your mom. She doesn't know what to do with that. There's no, don't go silent. keep lines of communication open. Proverbs 1:8 says this, listen. Encircle the word listen. That's what this passage is about. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, that word forsake is to withdraw something, to give up, to renounce, to take something you had away. And that would be listening and forsaking your mother's teaching. She has something for you. Not just when you were young. Certainly she did then. You wouldn't be alive without your mom because your dad certainly didn't protect you like she did. Come on. She kept you alive when your dad would have been taking a nap. Come on. Snoring on the couch and you're playing in the street. Your mom kept you alive. Come on, we're into truth in this church. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. She has something for you. Maybe not in every area of life. I get it. We're all limited. We're good at different things. But if you learn from her, whatever she has, coupled with God throughout life, something special may happen. You forsake it, and God takes notice. And so it's not like I want to scare you into making her glad and honoring her, but be scared. You lose, and she loses. Verse 9 says, they, what? Your father's instruction and your mom's teaching, they will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. It'll make your life better. That's what he's saying here. God is in it for you when you listen to him. When you ignore him, you pay a price, and so do other people around you. You can honor, you can't honor, you can't bring gladness, you can't bless without communication. Now, when I say the word communication, you guys will probably all get this, but it's phone calls, it's pictures. I mean, we have so many tools with Instagram and with Facebook and so many high levels of communication ability in our culture. Invites, welcoming, notes, emails, texting. Boy, when you text your mom, she feels valuable. It's not a small thing. Some of my kids will call my wife mommy. And these are adult, powerful human beings. Every once in a while they throw in a daddy. But they call her mommy. Okay? And it touches my wife's heart every time. Every time. The whole idea here is to stay in touch. To share your life. Moms love this. They just do. A good mom doesn't want to control your life. You may think she does, but a good mom doesn't want to control your life. She's grown to a place where she realizes, I can't control my own life. Why should I try to control theirs as they grow? A good mom doesn't want to make your decisions. She may want to be involved if she has capacity there or interest there. A good mom doesn't want to be your best friend. You have your own friends. Your mom and dad shouldn't be your best friend. They can be buddies. You can have a close relationship. But it's not about that. But she does love you. Probably more than anybody other than your mate, if you have the privilege of having one, on the planet. She loves you and she thinks about you a lot. And what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that, that she loves you and that she thinks about you all the time? Very interesting verse on motherhood. I threw this in. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but I'm not going to tell you. Romans 16:13. I may. If you're good, I may. Greet Rufus. Now, there are a number of women in this church right now in this very room that are pregnant. And I'm thinking, Rufus probably isn't an option for a name, but I like it. Rufus. I hope nobody's named Rufus in here. I always worry about that, you know? Hey, Rufus. But chosen in the Lord. So he was a special guy. He was a lover of God. God loved him back. And his mother. So we got not just Rufus, but Rufus's mom. You can only imagine what her name is. Who? Paul says, the great, great, great Apostle Paul says this. Who has been a mother to me, too. Not just to Rufus. Maybe Paul's mom died early. I don't know his story. But she was a mom to me. And here's the message today. You can have more than one mom. I know you got one, but you can have more than one mom. It's a beautiful thing within the context of the church. I tell people that come to this church that are new, that are young couples, and I say, hey, there are some wonderful people here. And I say to them, they don't need to be your best friends, but they can be your believing, following Jesus friends. And everybody needs some of those that get you, because you don't keep coming to a church like this week after week unless you really want to follow him. You dump me. You find somebody that's funnier, smarter, better, shorter. You know, you go to another church, and I understand that. You can't stick here if you really want to follow Jesus over the course of time. You can't. And I don't want to kick you out, but the chairs are full. I want to get some people in here that do want to follow him. No, I'm just sort of kidding there a little bit. You can have more than one mom. You know, most moms that are sitting in this room are available. They really are. If you're willing to listen to them, they'll take you in. They will. They will adopt you emotionally. It's a beautiful thing to give away to somebody else that's older than you. The problem is, when you get older like me now, I'm their peer. It's hard for them to be my mom anymore. It's one of the bummers of growing old, right, Mike? Yeah, she has to be really old for us, huh? But they're available. And understand that it might be a great gift that you give to somebody. To let somebody out have that mother role in your life. And they will tell you what they think if you listen and you ask. And see that as a beautiful thing, not an authoritative thing or a controlling thing. It's wisdom that you can get. Thomas Edison once said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should likely never have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, like we all are. And with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. What beautiful words. How do I pull this off? Number two, give value to her regularly. And maybe the word regularly is the one I want you to underline and think about. Romans 12:10 says this in our general relationships. It says, be devoted to one another in love. This is where great relationships come from. When we understand what the Bible says and we begin to act them out, never to perfection, but to the best of our ability. Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Now, if we attach mom to this verse that is general within the context of all relationships, you have like orders from God how you ought to live. Valuing her is about appreciating her. That's what value does. That's what value is. Not hard to do. It's not hard to do. And if I can ever get that in your noggin, if I can ever get that in your heart, I can alter your mom's experience the next 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, however many years you have her. Appreciating her is just simply staying in touch with her. It's part of it. Communicating your love. Listening to her advice. Notice I didn't say following it. That's not what we're talking about here. Your mom does not, when you become an adult, have any control over your life. Influence, you bet. Control, none. Zero, moms. Sorry. If you're a helicopter gal with adult children, you've got to change, mom. That's not the message today. We'll get you another day. Let them go. But listening to her advice, a lot of times you don't hear advice anymore. You know why? Because we don't really want to hear it. We don't ask. It's a beautiful thing to ask somebody. What do you think? What would you do in this situation? Boy, you give those questions away to your mom. Willingness to hear the stories over and over and over again. Going down memory lane. Looking at the same picture again. And be interested in her life. Thank her often for her contribution, whatever it is. When you value your mom, it's a beautiful thing. It's what God wants. It adds to your life. It makes your mom glad. It also, you don't know what the future holds. And you'll never be sorry, especially when she's gone. And you don't know what day that is going to happen. You just don't. Number three, how do I pull this off? Find ways to show you're grateful. Tell her often how thankful you are. Tell her. Show her often how grateful you are. And I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about life here. Your mom is impacted, right or wrong, good or bad, by your countenance in life. And I'm not talking about being phony. Because if you're going to be phony, it's worthless. Colossians 2:6 says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, it assumes that you've embraced Him, accepted Him. Who wouldn't if they knew what Jesus offered? I mean, come on, heaven, life after death. So just as you receive Christ, continue to live in Him, be connected, be yoked to Him. See Him as more important than anything. Rooted and built up in Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing, circle the word overflowing if you're a pen person, overflowing with thankfulness in your life. Oh, to be people who overflow with thankfulness, just coming out, every pore, can't get that stuff away from me, come on, stop being so thankful, what are you so thankful for? When you're belly aching and complaining, and grousing in life, and please understand, there's a time for that, especially with your mom, because if you have a good relationship. Well, 10-20% of the time. I want a bellyache. If you don't ever want a bellyache, you want to be close to me, you need to get another friend. I'm going to bellyache. I like to bellyache. I'm not going to be a phony. Come on. Maybe 25% of the time, but when you get up into 40 and 50, we got a problem, Houston. Be aware that your mom, if you're a constant bellyacher and complainer with your mom, she lives concerned. It takes a smile off her face. On the other hand, when you're grateful in life towards her, there's a smile on her face. There's a smile you can't get off. She feels good about your life. She doesn't live overly concerned about you. She's happy for you. She celebrates you privately in her heart in the middle of the night when she wakes up, because it is a bummer getting older. You wake up so much and you can't go back to sleep. It is horrible. Heaven will be wonderful. You won't have to sleep. Was that old guy talk? How do I pull this off? Number four, and last for today. Live well by loving Jesus all out. End well by loving Jesus all out. Every mom wants the best for her kid. That's how moms roll. And when we say the best, we're talking in this life and the next one, for those who understand that. Jesus can do things for you that nobody humanly can do for you, not even your mommy. In John 11:25, Jesus said to her, and the her is Martha, Lazarus' sister. He's in the tomb. He's dead. He's stinking. 4 days dead. All wrapped up and spiced and all that stuff. Marinating in the tomb. That's probably the wrong term to use on Mother's Day. But you get the point. He's done. He's cooked. Oh, wrong term. He's done. Jesus looks at Martha and the folks that are around and he says, I am me. Me. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. These are enormous words. Jesus promises that believing in him allows us to live even though we physically die. These are very significant words for you to begin to ponder and think about, especially if you're outside of believing in Jesus. These are enormous words to put on your dashboard in life and go, huh, what if that's true? This is called eternal life. Mom wants this for her kids, whether she understands it or not. In Matthew 11, 28, classic passage in the Bible, it says, come to me. Jesus says, believe in me. Submit to me. Give your heart to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, those who need help, those who need God in their life. God has no room for self-sufficient people. He wants to be needed because you really do need him, whether you understand it or not. And I, me, Jesus, the one that is the resurrection and the life, will give you rest. This is what you get. Peace. Happiness, gladness, contentment, even if life hasn't gone the way you want it to go. He says, take my yoke, verse 29, upon you. Connect yourself to me. And learn from me. Become a student of mine. Let me give you lessons. Part of being connected to Jesus is you're willing to learn from him in an ongoing way. This is what he wants. Connect to me. Yoke to me and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is not harsh. This is what you'll find when you get close to me. Gentleness and humility. If you experience anything else, it's not Jesus. And you will find rest for your souls. He repeats what he brings to the table. Rest for the inside of our life. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke won't chafe. It won't weigh you down. So how do I pull this off with mom? Well, how do I pull what off? Well, honoring her regularly, being thankful towards her, fighting off disrespect. Keep lines of communication open. Give value to her regularly. Find ways to show you're grateful. Live or end well. Don't worry about that. Dude, it's okay. Listen, I don't care about that coffee stain. Most of you have stained the carpet in here, and I still love you. That's why we get the carpet cleaned 4 or 5 times a year. And for some of you, it's 6. Moms are special. They make this lasting imprint on us that you can't get rid of even if you try. It's there. And part of the goodness of who you are, it came from her. Arguably, they're the most influential people in our lives. Moms are God's gift to each one of us. We'll close with this and I'll pray. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me, if you would. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate moms in our life, the impact they have, and the love that they've shown to us. And I just pray that each of us would take to heart what it is you want from us, that we just sense to take baby steps towards the right thing. And maybe many of us are doing all that now, and we thank you for leading us that way. And Lord, I pray that there'd be just be tenderness in our hearts as best we can muster up for each of our moms, that we'd be people who love the way you love. And thank you for each mom in this room, each lady that's seeking to be maternal in any way. And we just appreciate you and the truth and having fun together. We pray this in Jesus' name.